Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wintertime winds blow cold this season.
It's sort of cold.
Need to know how to dress.
This guy tells me.
The only station I listen to.
Winter's so cold.
When the wind blows cold, you need to know.
We get some winter here.
97.3, The Sky.
Yeah, baby. It's Friday. Friday, the weekend is here. It is 8:07. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Craig Cassidy's here. We've got a lot of things to talk about. We got important people to talk to. Joining us right now, former sheriff of Alachua County, former sheriff of Marion County. If I do his whole resume, we'll run out of time. So without further ado, good morning, Emery Ganey. Sir, how are you?
Good morning, Bob. I am doing exceptionally well today. I hope you guys are as well.
Now, we know you're in D.C. We know why. But before we get to that, you see, we think of you as a sheriff and Sheriff Marion County, Sheriff Alachua County. But you spent over 3 years as chief of staff, or at least part of that time you were chief of staff. But you were at the Florida Office of the Attorney General in Florida, in Tallahassee. Tell us about that experience.
Well, 13 years, actually, Bob. I went up with Attorney General Bill McCollum, and he was Attorney General. Pam Bondi ran for office in one. She asked me to stay, and after 8 years with her, current Attorney General, well, actually a current senator, Ashley Moody, asked me to stay as well. So I spent 13 years with three attorneys in general, Tallahassee. Had an awesome time working with the Attorney General's office and statewide law enforcement and local law enforcement during that time.
And so you're in Washington, D.C., and we're very thankful we could connect with you because we're pretty proud of Pam Bondi as well. And you worked with her. You know her better than we do. But, hey, she's a Florida girl, a Gator girl. She's done a good job as Attorney General. And now she's going to be Attorney General for the U.S. So you had a chance to, you know, make some remarks in front of the senators. Tell me what you said, how that went.
Well, it was a great opportunity for a great friend and a great law colleague to come up and support her and her efforts. Came up with two other great friends that also worked with her a long time, Nick Cox, the current statewide prosecutor, and Dave Ehrenberg, former prosecutor down in Palm Beach County for three terms, and also worked for Attorney General Bondi at the time. It was a great opportunity. You know, there's a lot of rich history here in the Capitol to be able to, you know, watching Senate hearings on the television is one thing. When you're actually in that chamber, you know, the sort of seat of power here for the United States and testifying on a half was something I was more than happy to do, to talk about her background, her tenacity, her respect for the rule of law, exactly what Washington, D.C. needs.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the hearing and the questioning that she was put through and put under, but I thought that she did very, very well in addressing some very aggressive, you know, Democrat senators. I don't know. What was your take, and did you get to see much of that?
I saw part of it before I flew out. I did catch the first half, and I have talked to folks and saw some recordings of the other half. It was a very grueling, quite frankly, but she was well prepared, as you can tell from her answers, to address those issues, address those senators, and to stand firm on her beliefs. And again, she's a strong advocate for the law, and it's real simple. When you follow the law, the answers aren't that difficult.
I thoroughly enjoyed the way that she answered many of the questions, especially when, you know, they were very, some of them seemed quite concerned about the possible weaponization of the Office of Attorney General. And she didn't waste any time digging right into, yeah, we've seen it, and the way that they've pursued Donald Trump. So I just thought that she was spot on. I don't know if you caught, did you catch that exchange?
I did, indeed. And I thought she did an exceptional job with it. And we have had issues, clearly, with the Department of Justice. That's one of the things that she would fix as Attorney General. I mentioned a couple of times about following the law. That's exactly what Attorney General Pam Bondi would do to make sure that our U.S. attorneys, our law enforcement agencies, and the dozens and dozens of the departments on the Department of Justice will simply follow the law, irregardless of political party or any other particular aspect of what may come before them. She will review the law. She'll follow the law. She ensure that the people work for us does the same as she did in the state of Florida.
It's crazy. It almost sounds like a job description for how an attorney general is supposed to operate. It's just, you know, we the people don't always feel the direct impacts. What do you think will be the difference between an attorney general office run by Attorney General Pam Bondi versus, say, the current administration? What do you see that people would go, oh, yeah, I feel that or I see that?
Well, she needs to bring back respect for that office to the American people, and that's what she would do. You know, when you're in a prosecutor role or you see an agency of that size, and not everyone would agree with you, but as long as you can turn back and point clearly to fairness and equality for everyone, that's what she would do, and that's what we expect of our attorney general. And, of course, all the law enforcement agencies realize there's a host of three-letter agencies under that department, the FBI, ATF, U.S. Marshal's Office, Drug Enforcement Agency, and so on. So she also restore that level of integrity and independence of those organizations to simply investigate crimes, and based off what the investigation determines, they would determine whether there's further prosecution, not about what political party or that someone supported.
Attorney General, I mean, that is such a huge job. And thank you for breaking it down as to all these offices are going to have to answer to her, including the FBI. I mean, you're head of the DOJ. You're the head of the whole deal. I mean, what do you think the odds are that she's going to find a level of success for kind of cleaning house, for lack of a better term? You think she'll be able to make a real impact in a short period of time?
I think she will. You know, as she's done in her other roles, she'll go in quickly, start assessing, and she's already begun that process, start assessing the staff that is there with her, make sure she had the right people in the right places, and if not, she'll find the right people and get them in the right places. So I think, without a doubt, she will work very hard, very diligently with the leadership staff and ensure that folks, again, follow the law with integrity. And that will be her biggest and first challenge. But I know that she's up to that challenge from my 15 years of knowing her and working with her as Florida's Attorney General. So that's what we're looking forward to seeing out of U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi.
Well, Emory Ganey, look, you spent literally a lifetime in various capacities related to law enforcement and leadership. And I know we appreciate you. What does the future hold for you?
Well, Bob, you know, we're just going to keep an open mind. We aren't actively looking for anything at this point in time, but always we look for the opportunity to assist if called upon. So for the time being, we're going to return back home, do some volunteer work as we have been doing, but always willing to help our community any way that we can.
Yeah, because you're kind of the expert on call. They're like, oh, we got some issues at that sheriff's office. Yeah, put Emory Ganey on it. And so I guess I wonder out loud, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I guess I am. if you're offered a position relating to something that Pam Bondi would be, you know, the head of, and that leaves a lot of open ground, would you be interested? Would you consider living in and around Washington, D.C.?
Bob, I lost nothing in D.C., but obviously I would help Pam Bondi in any way that we can. We would have those discussions if there's an opportunity to do that, but I would be very hopeful that it's somewhere other than Washington, D.C. they don't call it the swamp by accident.
Yeah, and it's not a swamp because it's warm either, at least most of the time.
29 degrees here today, was 19 yesterday before the
Well, enjoy, and we know you were there for the right reasons, and you respect Pam Bondi, and that's why you made the effort to say some great things. And I don't know, does she let you call her Pammy Joe?
No, we're going to call the U.S. Attorney General Bondi at this point in time. I think she's earned that title and deserved that.
Well,
privately, we'll call it what we call it privately, but publicly, Attorney General Pam.
And I say it with a great deal of respect, but also from the perspective of
I know you do.
We think she's our own. You know, she's our Gator girl, and we support her, and we know she is going to be do an incredible job. Sheriff Emory Ganey, sir, thank you. We always appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Thanks, Bob and Greg. Have a great day.
All right. Yeah, he's the Johnny on call. Hey,
well,
it's bro, call Emory.
I know what Johnny is. Well, I wasn't joking when I said he's retired twice, and they keep calling him back out, putting him back on the front lines.
He's one of those rare individuals. He's not doing this for accolades or retirement benefits.
No.
He is a man who understands service.
Yes, he has the heart for it.
Yep. And that's a rare thing. So we respect that. Appreciate that. Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America coming up at 9:05. Right now, though, you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
The media is trying everything that they can to inoculate themselves.
Now, 10 p.m. night.
So they're saying, well, if you try to hold anything accountable, it's just politicization. No, it's not.
On 97.3, The Sky.
That was a great chat.
It really was.
So insightful.
A servant's heart, I think, was the term I was kind of looking for there. And, you know, some people, they have that... I noticed that in other people because I probably don't possess it.
it's so obvious when you see it. It's so unfamiliar personally.
Yeah, it's like that person's a giver. That person's a giver. Hey, give me some of that now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and he's always a good sport. And he's been great on the air. And anyway, we like him.
Yeah, good guy.
And Greg's actually, I mean, how do you do this? Not a disclaimer, but what do you call it? Total transparency. Greg's actually friends with him.
Yeah.
Just so you know. But I wasn't nice to him just because of Greg. In fact, I'd probably be tougher.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
All right.
But he knows people, Bob, and he can do more to you than get you in trouble for your tinted windows. He knows people.
But I don't consider him like the threatening type.
He's not. No.
President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance will be sworn in by a pair of U.S. Supreme Court justices Monday. Senior source with the committee confirmed that Chief Justice John Roberts would swear in Trump. This is consistent with tradition.
I know, but it's Roberts. He's been... I don't know. It doesn't always feel on board sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe he will have a similar epiphany or a sense of enlightenment as maybe others have, like, well, Elon Musk to some extent. But really, you know, you've got the guy from Facebook.
Yeah.
And you've got Jeff Bezos even.
True.
You've got the guy from Apple. What's his name?
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Roberts has just kind of been a thorn, more of a thorn than we thought.
It was a little bit. He was a little bit of a wild card, and I don't think most of us were expecting that.
No, we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's happening.
Here, let me help you rewrite Obamacare, and let's change this word to this. And it's
then,
like
you can have it, right?
Yeah. It's an open book test, and I'm going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really helpful to the nation, in my humble opinion. All right. Let's see. Oh, Justice Brett Kavanaugh will swear in Vance.
I like that.
Yep. Cool. And vice presidents have selected various individuals to administer the oath since World War II. Most have opted for justices in recent decades. The Cincinnati Enquirer was the first outlet to report that Vance would take the oath from Kavanaugh. Justice Sonia Sotomayor swore in Vice President Kamala Harris. Justice
Shocking.
Clarence. Huh?
Shocking.
Justice Clarence Thomas swore in a former Vice President Mike Pence and former Justice John Paul Stevens administered the oath to then President-elect Joe Biden in 2009. Oh, by the way, so people have been, and I say people like, you know, the people on in news and TV, breaking down Biden's farewell speech.
Oh, my goodness.
It was similar to that speech I think he gave in Philadelphia where he had those red lights behind him. And, it was a dark, for lack of a better term. And this, he was very, very gloomy about it. Mm-hmm. And he talked about we're going to be a nation of oligarchs and all that.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous. But the one takeaway was they showed some clips from other people's final addresses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they showed Bill Clinton, very upbeat, very positive. And they showed Ronald Reagan. Now, remember, this was at the end of his presidency. It's a farewell address. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, and I got to tell you, remember, he was the guy that they claim was really had diminishing capacity, and right. really by the end of his, his deal, he was, you know, guy out to lunch more than he was there. Theoretically,
that's what they said. Yes, that's
yeah. Those are the things. Well, I remember. I mean, you know, I was a young man. I remember those things being said and the concerns, etc. But I can tell you, at least in the part of the farewell speech that I saw, he could still run circles around. If you compared him to Biden back when Biden 4 years ago and Reagan at his very end could run circles around him. Just such a difference in what he was saying, but how he was saying it, and the fact that, you know, you knew he was comprehending the words that were coming out of his mouth versus Joe Biden. And but I don't know who like directs him like a puppet to go, okay, now, I mean, who says go out there angry and be dark and the world is coming to an end? It is because they did reelect you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was it like the pep talk?
Or is it in his own mind? I don't know.
Look, hey, good or bad or anything else, a president is concerned about their legacy, how they're going to be perceived by future generations.
Sure.
And everyone wants to feel like they left a good mark. Everyone. You know, somebody who's done a terrible job, very rarely will they admit, I really sucked at that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had that kind of humility, they probably wouldn't have sucked at it to begin with.
But don't you think Joe's kind of trying to convince everybody he did a good job? It's almost like I'm trying so hard to just come up with all the things that I think I did well or they wrote down for me, but it's still not believable.
Look, somebody is going to take their achievements, and if they're blowing their own horn, They're gonna take those achievements and tweak them a little bit to the positive, and not tell the downside of it or you know what failed within that. It's going to be upbeat, but his version of successes, that's a good way to put it. It's like so far off of reality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like he's reading a different story from a different book. I don't know who he's talking about, but it ain't little Joey Biden from Scrapple, Pennsylvania.
That ain't
his life story. I can tell you that right now.
Because we've lived it.
Well, and we live in the modern era. Mm-hmm. There's too much documentation. There's too many facts. There's too many audio, video, et cetera's now.
It's not just the 6 o'clock news. Right?
Yeah, it's not as easy to do a rewrite, you know, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And gloss over and make it all happy and shiny. Governor Doug Burgum, the Republican from North Dakota and one-time presidential candidate as well, he is President-elect Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of Interior. I figured there would be something for him.
Yeah.
Smart, accomplished man. He is. He's done very well for himself.
But who knew he'd be like picking out the drapes on the couch? Who knew? I didn't see that coming.
No. The interior, meaning the interior of the United States.
Oh, he's not
an interior designer, Greg. Your feng shui is just off the mark.
Sorry. Couldn't help it.
All righty now.
It's Friday.
Can you tell it's Friday?
It's Friday.
I can.
Oh, yeah.
It is 8:28. It's the Bob Rose Show. You can find the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe.
Inauguration Day.
We made history.
Trump.
On day one, I will terminate every single open border policy.
A historic new America.
Drill, baby, drill.
Happens on the sky.
And we will immediately begin a brand new Trump economic boom.
A new way.
Great country with low taxes and strong military.
This.
We have a window of opportunity.
Is.
And we've got to be ready to govern.
It.
And we've got to be ready to lead.
News Talk 97.3.
We're going to turn this country around so fast.
The sky.
The sky.
God, I'm so excited.
New president.
We have to get back to a great country.
And new news.
When it's new.
I hear it on the sky first.
This year, open up your shiny brand news day.
We made history for a reason.
News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:35. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Did I mention happy, happy Friday? Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Always good for a laugh. Look, it's Friday, so we are going to keep it light to some extent. Well, this guy might be serious about what he's saying, but really? LOL. I'm talking about Congressman James Clyburn. He is the Democrat from South Carolina.
I don't think of funny when I think of him. I think, but I don't know.
Well, it's all in your perspective.
Oh, okay.
So he was on MSNBC, no agenda there, and Chris Jansing asked him a question. Given everything that was in place when he took office, mm-hmm. COVID, the economic challenges, do you think this was in some ways inevitable? They were talking about Biden's kind of low ratings, but also how he'll be remembered. Mm-hmm. How do you think history will judge this presidency? And she kind of gave him a way out. Like, she already, you know, said, hey, well, look, this was part of COVID,
right,
which had its own challenges,
sure,
economic challenges, whether he was part of that by overspending or not. I mean, but fair enough. She was giving him a little room to operate,
yeah,
right? Clyburn, full smooch rear end.
Oh, no.
I think he will go down as one of the greatest presidents we ever had. No, he really said that.
It's got to be a punchline.
Again, this goes to everybody's going to tweak things one way or another to their advantage.
Tweak is like a little thing.
Exactly.
That's I don't even know what that is.
That's
just
it's going from making a small adjustment on that carburetor.
Yeah.
To dropping in a couple extra cylinders and a supercharger.
Yes. Good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. One of the greatest presidents we ever had.
Oh, that's delusional.
I mean, so you're saying that he's in a category that would be like a Washington and a Lincoln.
Yeah, but remember when we were hearing from those who wanted that they thought that Biden ought to be up on Mount Rushmore?
Were they real?
He may be stone-faced, but I don't. No, he is not one of those. He is not.
I thought Hunter might get on there because he's a stoner.
I don't think stoner really counts.
So here's that big whopper. One of the greatest presidents we ever had.
Wow.
And then he goes on to say, I think the same thing about Jimmy Carter.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Again, good man in some respects, but one of the greatest presidents? One of the worst economies?
Yeah. Ugh. He said Jimmy Carter left the presidency with very, very low ratings. Harry Truman, the same thing. People who do big things, people who break with the status quo, these people do not get judged well in the currency. But when history gets a chance to look back to read the things he said and did rather than respond to the way he said them. Mm. He said, I heard people this morning or last night talking about him not being a great communicator. Well, some people are good speakers, other people are great doers, and some people just know how to write. And that is what it's all about. We're judging people on substance when we look back on them, not on style. If you're looking for style, Joe Biden is not your guy on substance. He's everybody's person. I mean... Not a great communicator, not a great thinker.
Arrogant.
Angry.
Angry. Yeah, if you don't agree with him, no.
And
smug. I could keep going, but the show's off at 10.
Yeah, and what exactly is history going to look back on and say that he was so
right about? He protected America at its borders. Okay, maybe
no.
He brought America greatness in its economy.
No.
He brought America safety in the world and maintained world peace.
No.
Okay, I tried. That was three strikes, you're out. kind of like what he used to promote against criminals until his son really kind of became one.
I just like how, I think it's interesting. James Clyburn says, people who do big things, people who break with the status quo, these people do not get judged well in the currency. Hmm. No, what we have found actually is this so-called break from the status quo, really, if you look back at it accurately, tends to be whenever you stray from the Constitution, and that they're punished on their way out of the office with these low ratings because people are starting to, because people are slow to catch on. Mm. They're slow to catch on to your agenda.
Right.
And what you've been doing and why they feel the way they do, whether it's, why do I feel like there's a lot of crime? Because there is. Why do I feel like the economy's not doing well? Because it's not. Why do I feel like, you know, I'm going backwards financially? Because you are. So when they break from the Constitution, or when they do things like send an incredible amount of money to, say, Ukraine, while we have literally American veterans living in the streets and a homeless problem overall in general that exceeds anything that we thought we'd ever seen out of our wildest dreams since Hooverville. That's why a president like Biden is going to get judged harshly, because they strayed from the Constitution. Yeah, it's really, you know, breaking the status quo when you want to raise regulations and raise taxes and spend more.
Right.
That's not breaking any sort of glass ceiling or laying any new groundwork. It's Clyburn. I mean, what are you going to say, you know?
Right, yeah.
And in his answer, no mention of Obama. What happened there?
I was thinking about that contrast, because that's kind of interesting. How, if you're going to set this set of rules and results for Biden, how does that work with Obama?
And say what you will, but if you're looking as breaking the status quo, Obama represents that, and not just by, you know, the color of his skin, but also Obamacare.
Right.
Now, I don't look that as being successful, but I don't know that the Democrats share that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a break from the status quo, yet he didn't get a mention. That's interesting. Now I understand why Jimmy Carter would be on his mind. He just laid him to rest. And,
sure.
You know, they're still saying nice things, which they should. But we weren't talking about good people. Like,
right.
Greg was easily able to separate. Hey, this guy was probably a really good human being, you know? He lived his life. He gave back to his community, Habitat for Humanity, all that. He was a God, a fearing, God-believing man. But as a president, as that being your job, he kind of sucked.
He did.
But these political, they can't help it. They're victims of their own bubbles that they live in, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I mentioned Doug Burgum, nominee for Secretary of the Interior. And the reason why this could be a big pick has to do with energy. And we are in an energy crisis in our country. And the first place is actually related to electricity. This was Burgum talking. These were comments that he made in response to Senator Jim Justice, a Republican out of West Virginia, who emphasized his concerns about potential for an electricity crisis. And he said electricity is at the brink. This is Burgum. Our grid is at the point where it could go completely unstable. We are just months away from having skyrocketing prices for Americans. Burgum then noted the need for electricity in the artificial intelligence arms race underscoring that wind and solar alone cannot propel the U.S. to victory. Nobody who can either do math or understand some of the basic fundamentals can believe that that is ever going to have any real impact filling our energy needs.
No.
It's just not there. Anyway, he's talking about coal, and I know when you even say that, people are like, dirty, bad.
Yeah.
No, they're finding different ways to extrapolate energy that may be even cleaner, and it's not dirty the way we were burning it.
Right.
You know, the last few years when we were...
It's not the 1920s coal mines taking the canary in with you. So,
well,
you know.
Let me put it to you this way. You want to put it up against China and what they're doing?
All right.
Yeah, they're almost like at the 1980s in terms of scrubbers and cleaning their stuff. All right, it is 8:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcasts. You never have to miss a minute of the show. Just click on subscribe. Plenty more to talk about in a conversation with Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America. How will these recent political moves in the Sunshine State and D.C. affect our Second Amendment rights? That's coming up on 97.3 The Sky.
More freedom, restoring constitutional order.
Three weekdays.
If we're looking at a weaponized FBI, then what we have to do is restore these things to their former greatness.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Happy Friday, happy weekend, come on. Greg and I are going to be hard at work Monday while the rest of you slackers enjoy a day off.
And you know who you are.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But we'll be here live Monday morning starting at 6 a.m. Two big deals are going on. You've got Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And even though apparently some folks on the left kind of forgot what he taught us, we'll remind you, because we live by that. Judge each other by the content of your character, not by the color of your skin. In other words, he sees a future. He said this many decades ago. He sees a future where stupid things like DEI won't exist. Whoops.
That was your out loud voice.
Did I say that?
That was out loud, yeah. You know, and what's really sad is we were on a, I think you'll agree, we were on a good track.
Yes.
We really were. And then it almost is like, wow, in a way it's going to come to fruition because we are going to have the first half black president. And then he did everything he could to turn it around.
To kind of redivide.
Yes, he did.
And
it's sad, really.
Well, I've called it before. It's called, you know, soft racism.
Yeah.
You need some help. Well, it's not your fault. You're never going to get a fair shot because you're black. Mm-hmm. Well, what really?
Yeah.
Is that your encouragement ministry? I stole that from you, by the way, Greg.
What if Ben Carson had been told and believed that?
Yeah, while his mom's scrubbing floors, said, Mom, how come you never got on the dole like everybody else in the neighborhood? Because she had a third grade education. She says, Son, because I saw what it did to people. And once you get on that, I never saw anybody get off of it, that public assistance. So meanwhile, she's scrubbing floors. Can you imagine if she said, Ed, you're going to be scrubbing floors your whole life because you're not going to be given a chance to go to college or to become a neurosurgeon?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I think she probably encouraged him.
Yes.
Don't let anything stop you, son. Mm-hmm. You have a world of opportunity ahead of you. Don't screw it up.
Last part was.
And don't make excuses.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
When you give people an excuse,
that
you've given them a reason to fail without shame.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it wasn't my fault. Well, actually, if you showed up for work on time and had a reasonable attitude, not only could you have maybe maintained that position, who knows, you might have gotten promoted.
Wow.
No, they didn't like me because I was black, Mom. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that never, ever, ever happens.
Sure.
But
you can't use that, and you're using it against yourself.
Exactly. And the Democrats caught on to that whole idea and concept a very long time ago. Hey, filmmaker David Lynch has passed away at the age of 78. Remember the TV show, the series, Twin Peaks? Yep, that was him. And he got an Oscar nomination for director of Mulholland Drive, Blue Velvet. His family announced his death in a Facebook post that came out yesterday. It is with deep regret that we, his family, announced the passing of the man and the artist, David Lynch. We appreciate some privacy. This is a big hole in the world now that he's no longer with us. But, as he would say,
yes,
keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole.
Oh.
It's a beautiful day with golden sunshine and blue skies all the way. He's a guy who was very successful in life.
Oh, yeah.
And that, what key advice? Mm-hmm. Keep your eye on the donut, not on the hole. In other words, what do you have? Not what's missing or you perceive to miss.
Yeah.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah. Plus, anytime we get to talk about donuts, we get to go, donuts. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Shep, good morning.
Good morning. I heard you talking about reasons people got fired or reasons they didn't get the promotion or something like that. You didn't happen to read about that somewhere, did you?
Well, some of your experiences in your book lend a lot of credence to that whole idea.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, I know all about it. I've seen it. And, you know, people wonder why I never went for a management or a supervisory or a crew leader position. Well, I compare myself to Mr. Scotty on Star Trek. He was fully capable of commanding a starship. And when Captain Kirk left him in charge, he did a great job. But he did not want a ship of his own. He was happy being an engineer. So that's the way I compare myself to him. He was my favorite character on Star Trek because he could fix anything. But more to the point, you know, we wonder why, you know, we've had this decline of the American work ethic. You know, Donald Trump says he's going to bring jobs back. That's great. Where are we going to find people with the education, the dedication, and the work ethic, even to show up on time? You know, in this workforce, that I use the term loosely. I mean, think about it. These are people who showed up 5 minutes late, left 2 minutes early, 30-minute bathroom break, you know, late getting back from breaks and lunch, unauthorized smoke break. I'm sorry, you can't meet production quotas with that. I'll see you later, guys. Sorry. Bye.
All right.
Good points.
Henry Ford, the fifth.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Let me take Shep's story. And yeah. Let me shorten it for you. Here's why you don't want to manage people. Because people suck.
Sometimes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not always.
Not everybody.
You can't keep advice and things short and concise if you're always going to add the caveats, Greg.
Yeah.
People suck. You don't want to manage people. They suck. Yeah.
I have been there, done that, and don't ever want to do it again.
Now, if they're like us, they're awesome.
Oh, that's different.
But you know how many of us there are?
Not too many.
Two. One of you and one of me. And you're already playing a bunch of other people because you are
the team. Yes, I am.
I love it. NFL playoffs this weekend. Oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
Another legend has passed, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker.
Yes.
Rest in peace, age 90. Career in Major League Baseball. I think he played like six seasons. Then he went and was the announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers for many years. And then he did those Miller Lite commercials back in the day. I must be in the front row.
Well, you were funny.
Just loved that shtick. That was
great character, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up and a conversation with Luis Valdez, Gun Owners of America, Second Amendment rights. What is happening politically that could affect us?
This is Sky News.
For the nomination of Pam Bondi.
We have got to work together to make America safe again.
Trending stories.
Marco Rubio, the State Department.
And why they matter.
Strong America engaged in the world.
North Central Florida's news station.
A ceasefire deal has been reached between Israel and Hamas.
Our Attorney General, Ashley Moody, serves as our next U.S. Senator.
I'm ready to show up and fight for this nation.
On air and everywhere on the Odyssey app. News Talk 97.3. The Sky.